Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I am James Cope. We got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's up?
Merry day after Christmas, everybody.
I like it. Happy holidays to all the listeners out there. Alex Gelhar, the whiz kid from Wisconsin. What's cracking?
I'm tired and looking forward to a real weekend in 5 days.
And we've got West Virginia's finest, the wide receiver prognosticator himself, Matthew Harmon.
Hi.
I think I checked all the boxes there, did I not?
Yeah, all the things to weird me out.
Right, good, perfect.
Yep.
Cool. Best Great. Christmas present you guys got?
Ooh. Probably, I you know, older, don't get a lot, ask for a lot of stuff or need a lot of stuff, but right. I wanted to buff up my Nick Cage movie collection, and a family member got
me. I'm sorry,
me.
What?
Yeah, Nick Cage movies. Nick Cage is a national treasure, pun intended. And I believe more people need to dive into his cinema library. So he got me a 5-pack, and it's Blu-rays that included like Drive Angry, Season of the Witch, Bangkok Dangerous, Lord of War, and Kick-Ass were the 5. So
man,
it was a good haul right there.
That is a train wreck of movies.
No, it's a beautiful disaster.
Oh my
Sounds
God.
Like a cage fight in the making.
Okay, I got you. All right, MG, what's your best Christmas gift, man?
Wow, that's a good call.
You know, by the way, it's funny that you mentioned that, Wiz, because I was just having this conversation with one of my in-laws the other day. When you're younger, you're so stoked about Christmas, forgetting the gifts, right? But you know you're getting older when you start to expect gifts less and less. Mm-hmm. I'm at the age now where I'm like, I'm not sure I'm going to get one. You know what I mean?
Not even from the wife, huh?
Yeah, I mean, she'll give me stuff like, Hey, here's a new trash can because we really need it. You know
this
what I'm saying?
Will help everybody.
Right. You know what I mean? Like that's – and so, you know, and but heaven forbid I do the exact same thing.
I would say mine – it's a toss-up between the Star Wars Stormtrooper pajamas.
Oh
cute.
Or
nice.
The – because lately my family has been on this kick, and I'm not complaining, of giving me cookbooks. For a
cookbooks?
Holiday. Yeah. And so one of the cookbooks I got this year was basically recipes for making meals in bowls. Because most of the meals I eat are out of a bowl nowadays.
Yeah, well, that's the way to go.
So I got a recipe about meals in bowls, and then to go along with it, a set of matching bowls.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of synergy.
Is it coffee table material, those cookbooks? Because, I mean, there is something called the internet.
I mean, some of them are, but you know, there's something cool about like having cookbooks along a theme. Like I have a really nice Cuban cookbook. I have a New Orleans themed cookbook.
Okay.
Now I've got this one about foods in bowls.
Also,
I was just going to say in defense of cookbooks, it's a lot easier to have it in the kitchen, open it up. Oh,
true.
Here's the recipe. Not like laptop. Don't get anything on it. Don't put it by
right.
heat.
Because like when I try to use my phone for recipes, I'm always like worried about I'm going to drop it into the
or,
pot or
something. Or that phone falls asleep and then you're like say, hitting it with your wrist,
thing.
Like trying to like wake it back up to get the recipe up.
I got you now.
That's the most annoying thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Matt Harmon?
Yeah, I got a lot of pretty cool stuff. My mom got me the Alexa, the Amazon thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So far though, I haven't really found out like. It's almost
one of
the full uses for it, but it is pretty cool to yell at it like, "Hey, play this song on Spotify," and it just does.
Nice!
That's
our
cool.
apartment.
You know,
now,
I just
coming under the rule of the.
Yeah,
robot
I mean, I've completely just submitted to the fact that our robot overlords are going to rule over my living domain and whatever. I am trying to get on their good side early, before they start imprisoning us 3 years from now. So that's probably the coolest one.
Right.
But my mom did, and her. Breaking news, fiance now.
Oh.
My mom and Steve got engaged on Christmas, which is pretty corny, but very wonderful for them. They hit the...
I don't know much about Steve, but that seems up his alley.
Yeah. No, it was not... When she told me, I was like, yeah, that's pretty par for the course for Steve. but they sent me a whole bunch of Nike stuff because they just opened up a clearance outlet by the house, and like apparently they got a bunch of stuff for dirt cheap.
Great.
So I got a lot of workout clothes.
Great.
To lose all this fat from Christmas.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, that was harsh.
Wow, that was way
too
harsh.
That's how you got to motivate yourself.
Kind of fat shame yourself?
Yeah, fat shame yourself.
Okay.
Kind of
I like
aggressive.
It. Best gift I got was a GoPro. My wife got me the GoPro.
Ooh,
fun. Going to be utilizing that on Baby Co. relatively soon here.
That's smart. Can I borrow that?
I haven't used. I haven't even cracked it open yet. But
it goes above the trash can, huh?
It goes above the trash can. That is true. We got a big time show in front of us here today. Look, it's championship week has basically finished. Last game for today. I mean, although there are some serious assets going today. You know what I mean? You got Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott, those kind of things. And I get it. That being said, most championships, I would imagine, are done in the books.
If you play in Week 17, don't do that.
That's what I was 17. Saying. So, you know, and again, we could do the whole Week 17. We're going to get to waiver wire, but we could do
we're
all that.
Gloss over it quickly.
But, I mean, you know, we'll still get your top headlines and do waiver wire and all that. But
I will make one quick case for playing in Week 17.
No.
Okay. Hold on. Now, look, the fantasy season is short enough to begin with. Like, we're all over here complaining like, oh, my God, it's been so long. But we look forward to it every year.
100%.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Don't hold your championship in Week 17.
Okay.
But if you're in a league that, you know, rewards winners or people that place a certain position with, like, cookies or something, for instance.
Sure.
Sure.
Play Week 17 for total points.
You can say money because other people can play for money.
That's true. The point is, like, my league of record, we do that. Our championship was in Week 16. My fellow firefighter that works with my dad, Kevin, won the league. Congrats, Kevin.
Good.
But we still play out Week 17 for total point standings and, like, whoever wins the week gets $10 and stuff like that. Because then it's meaningless as the games are for the overall standings. But, like, you can still play for fun and start your lineup and tilt through Sunday one last time.
Yeah, that's completely different than having a championship.
That's what I'm saying. You can get the best of both worlds.
Okay.
End your actual season on Week 16.
I hate your positivity.
Have something to play for in Week 17.
I hate your positivity.
It's an inside joke, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to talk about comeback player of the year. We'll make a case for Melvin Gordon, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Shady McCoy, and DeMarco Murray. We'll talk about bust of the year.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Cam Newton, Nuke, Brandon Marshall, Todd Gurley. I'm going to make an interesting case about Todd Gurley here not being bust of the year. We'll get to your daily daps. We're going to hit the waiver wire. But as always, we start your show with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
We got no franchise today.
No franchise.
In case
no
you hadn't figured that out yet.
I know. Is he still on vacation?
Florida.
He's still in Florida?
He should be in the office for Friday. No need for a fiery phone in. He will be here.
Hell yeah.
Fiery phone in. In studio.
Okay.
By the way, we do have some breaking news.
What's
I don't know
that?
If you saw via email. Bryce Petty to IR.
Yep.
For the Jets.
I thought you said news.
Yeah.
That's news. We could see Hackenberg on Sunday.
Oh, God. You're right.
That's great. Should be great for Todd Bowles' job security.
Yeah.
should be good. Let's start talking about other quarterbacks, though, that are actually fantasy relevant. Brutal news for
How
two.
Dare you?
Yeah, all right. Two young, promising quarterbacks. Same injury, broken fibulas for both Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota.
How bizarre.
I know, it's so weird. And there was another broken fibula as well in Seattle. We'll get to that in a moment. But Derek Carr, Mariota, both gone. I hope they get right for 2017. They're just it's so brutal because they're both seemingly good guys in this league, good young prospects, and they really developed well in their respective year. So definitely hope they get right. But what does it mean for Week 17 for that Oakland offense, Marcus Grant?
You know, I still think you can – you're not starting Matt McGloin. Let's just start there.
Yeah. But I think
you can still have a relative level of faith in at least Cooper and Crabtree that he's going to get the ball to the playmakers there.
Okay.
I mean, considering those guys have both been very up and down all season long as it is, I mean, I think you still kind of ride with them the same way you would and hope that this is a positive week here. You know, I'm looking at this. I know we're talking the Titans, and you know, I feel weird because this is Rose Bowl week, and you've got Penn State's Matt McGloin versus USC's Matt Cassel. And I feel like I should kind of ride with Matt Cassel, but in my heart, I know in my brain, I know I just can't. I can't pick Cassel over McGloin intellectually. But my heart says, you know.
I like it.
Go Matty Cassel.
Go Matty Cassel. There you go. What does it mean for the Titans offense, Matt Harmon?
Well, this is – I think Matt Cassel is way worse of an option than Matt McGloin at this point. I think Castle's been cooked for a few years now, and I think overall, you know, they'll just they'll probably just run the ball a ton, and the wide receivers and Delanie Walker will be – who really the only relevant receiver was Rishard Matthews, who, you know, really somewhat quietly probably from the outside, maybe not in fantasy as much, but has had a really good – effective pretty much breakout campaign.
There is no way the casual fan knows who Rishard Matthews is.
I would say that's exactly what I'm – yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, fantasy players know who Rishard Matthews is, but just, like, the general football public probably does not. Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know if the general Tennessee Titan fan knows who Rishard Matthews is.
But he's been very, very good this year.
A lot of touchdowns.
He's pretty much usurped the number one receiver role out right there. But I think those guys will probably have a tough go of it there in week 17 as the Titans
run heavy approach. I mean, they're already utilizing a run heavy approach, so I guess that would make a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Right.
In Seattle, Tyler Lockett broke his fibula and tibia. What was it? Pete Carroll told reporters that the bone may have broken through the skin.
It did. Yeah. They're watching out for infection.
It did.
My God. He's likely, obviously, to miss significant time. I saw that he probably won't be walking anywhere between 4 to 8 weeks. So, you know, obviously it could mean that he misses a large portion. I mean, obviously he's going to miss entire offseason. Will he miss time into training camp? We shall see. Carlos Hyde, torn MCL. He's out for week 17. Sean Drone, I don't know how to spell his name ever.
But it was just an MCL sprain, right? Not torn?
I thought it was a tear. Was it not?
They corrected it. I thought this morning I saw, and it was not a tear.
I don't think it's
so. It doesn't need surgery.
I see. I think wasn't the original report that he had a. Oh no, you're right. It is a MCL sprain.
I think they originally feared that, or that was the original report. But then after MRIs or whatever, they said it was just a sprain. So it's good
does
news
not
for
need
his,
surgery.
Good news for his long term outlook for next year. 100%. Not needing surgery and stuff, but he'll still be out.
All right, Sean Drone in week 17. Anyone want that?
No, I want DeJuan Harris if I have to.
Okay.
That's a good point. DeJuan Harris did play quite well in relief duties, especially as a pass catcher.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a guy who's popped a popped across a couple of places in the last few years, Green Bay and Minnesota, but he's you know, you don't like to use the term violent, but he's a violent runner, he's fast, he's decisive, so he'd be the guy that I want, especially as a volume play, maybe in DFS and stuff for week 17 over Shogun Dragon.
Shogun Dragon.
Shogun Dragon. Thomas Rawls, shoulder injury. What do you have, 8 yards? Championship week?
I think so.
Ouch. Alex Collins. You did a nice little write-up about him, WizKid.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Alex Collins.
Well, I mean, he's a rookie out of Arkansas. And Arkansas, right? It was him and
I think
Arkansas,
so.
Correct.
Yep.
And the dude in Jonathan Williams in Buffalo. But, I mean, he came in and looked okay. The Seahawks were behind, so there weren't many backfield opportunities to be had because they were playing catch-up so much. But if they sit Rawls, knowing they're already in the playoffs and, you know, wanting to save him for that, there's not a lot of depth there other than Collins. Though they might activate one of those other guys, Farmer or Tremaine Pope. I think one of them's injured, one of them's healthy.
Tremaine Pope had an ankle injury
a couple weeks ago, but I wasn't sure if he...
But might be active.
Collins could be a nice volume play next week, though, because they do play the 49ers.
Ooh, give me some of that.
Oh, boy.
Doug Martin was a healthy scratch. Status for week 17, unclear. We don't still have any idea why Doug Martin was ruled inactive for that game. It wasn't, but we do know this, it wasn't because of injury.
Mm.
A lot of controversy there in Tampa Bay.
Wait, what's up with that?
I don't want any parts of this backfield. Just
I was just going to ask you, MG, do you still ride Jaquizz Rogers, or what do you do for week 7?
Yeah, I don't have any faith in just because we don't know how the touches are going to be divvied up in this thing. I mean, obviously this week was kind of the Jaquizz Rogers week, but who knows, maybe next week is the Charles Sims week. I mean, yeah, basically you had Dirk Koetter out here intimating that they had 4 running backs, so that means Peyton Barber potentially is still in
Peyton
the mix.
Peyton Barber, baby, let's go!
There are just so many unknowns and so many variables here that it's hard to have confidence in any one guy in that backfield.
I will say this, though. If Rodgers does get the start outright over Martin, I would consider him. I mean, he averaged 4.3 yards per carry in the 4 games where he was the featured back, including this one. Doug Martin, I think, partly got benched because he wasn't producing a lot. He averaged 2.8 yards per carry since returning in Week 10. That's hard to move an offense when you're averaging 2.8 yards per carry.
To your point, Dirk Koetter said that special teams was a big reason as to why they activated Peyton Barber and Charles Sims. I'm looking at snap counts now for Tampa Bay. Jaquizz Rogers had 37. Charles Sims had 23. Peyton Barber had 0 on the offensive side. But again, Peyton Barber does play a little bit of special teams there. So...
So Doug Martin next year, is he going to be back with the team? Because he just signed a contract.
That's what I'm saying. I think they have to just contractually, money wise, salary cap, I don't see how you can possibly cut him
and
with that much dead money.
They want to be a run first team too. I mean, Martin never had lower than 16 carries once he returned from injury, and he had over 23 or more three times.
Doug Martin's on the every other year plan. Does he come back next year?
Peyton Barber, to back up what Cutter said, did play 16 special teams plays. Alan Cross played 14. Sims did not play any.
Okay. There you go.
In week 16.
Oh, yeah. But no, MJ, I agree with you. I want no piece of Doug Martin. I want no piece of Jacquizz Rodgers. I don't know what's going to happen. Peyton Barber could get a little extra time with a week's worth of preparation. Cool. It's going to be ugly.
I wonder if Doug was just never right coming back after his injury. Like, he was healthy and cleared, but, you know, just lost a little something, and it was wearing him down with all those touches. Like you said, Harmon, 15-plus in every game? Like, maybe that's part. Maybe that was contributing to it.
Might be true. Tyler Eifert placed on IR. He's not going to play week 17. Kenneth Farrell also placed on IR. Melvin Gordon is day-to-day. Don't know what his status will be for week 17, although...
I don't think I'd play him if he... I hope he gets his 1,000 yards.
That's
whatever,
what it is. That's what it is. He's looking for that benchmark.
I wouldn't play him in fantasy.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. All right, there you go. Let's talk about the waiver wire. Alex Gellhart writes a weekly piece. Gosh, this is the last one, huh, pal?
It's the last one, yep.
It's the last one, baby. Let's go.
Well, like you said, it's kind of just Alex Collins. I was trying to find some flyers, and we didn't talk about this a lot when we were just hitting at the Mariota and Carr injuries, but that three-headed committee in Oakland reared its head again.
I know. And DeAndre Washington, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Looks good.
Looked
too.
Really good.
Really good. Jalen Richard looked good on his touchdown reception. So
that being said, everyone looks good against the Colts.
That's very true.
But I think these guys could both potentially be in play, especially if they look to try to not throw a lot into the teeth of that Denver defense.
Because
on the road in Denver. So I think these guys could be, like, in deeper leagues if you're still playing. They could be flex options. You just got to hope they get in there.
I was on full tilt. Because I have Latavius Murray.
Oh, no.
And they gave it to him a couple times down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And he just could not punch it in. I don't believe. It's not that the coaching staff, Jack Del Rio, I don't think they've lost faith in Latavius Murray. I mean, they still gave it to him in those goal-to-go situations. He just couldn't punch it in.
No, he led the team in snaps and touches, too, in that backfield. But it's just they like what the other guys bring to the table, too.
All offseason that they thought they needed more options to go along with Murray. And then, you know, these rookies, like DeAndre Washington was a healthy scratch a couple of weeks ago there for 2 weeks in a row, I think. So, you know, they don't have like at many points did not have a clear number two runner, but they might now.
And then as for wide receivers, I think it's smart to chase the volume in production of guys like Adam Thielen, Cameron Meredith. Been seeing a ton of targets. J.J. Nelson is, you know, he's inconsistent, but he's delivering at least a touchdown over the last, like, 5 weeks or so. The Jags' number one wide receiver, Marquise Lee, available in plenty of leagues.
He's also their number one quarterback.
Yeah. You can say he's their number one quarterback, but you're just being disingenuous if you say he's their number one receiver.
We're just doing it to get a rise out of you.
I love it.
And then I think Charles Clay, I mean, the dude's been on fire the last couple weeks. You guys laughed at me when I said Charles Clay.
You're right.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll cop to being wrong on that one.
He helped me in a third place game in one league.
There we go.
Hey, man.
Six, 7, and 10 targets the last 3 weeks.
Where is that franchise drop, brother?
Oh,
you deserve
it. You're right. I should.
You absolutely.
That's the fiery phone in.
Anyone want some tea?
Yes.
Franchise lives in spirit.
I mean, I don't really want to tap dance over being right on Charles Clay, but whatever. And then, hey.
Hey, man, that was legit. You hadn't done anything until you came on board with him.
If you're desperate, Tom Savage could stream him.
Tommy Savage?
Could stream him against the Titans. They
the Macho Man?
The Titans just revived Blake Bortles'
exactly.
career.
Exactly. They just revived Blake Bortles. Marquise Lee is dropping dimes on him. And Bill O'Brien said the Texans are going to play their starters. So, like, they need this offense to get into a rhythm, and he could go out and sling it. So
that's a good point.
They can't afford to sit people.
I love the fact that they have to address that. The Texans. I love the fact that the Texans have to address whether or not they're going to play people.
Dude,
Houston, you guys suck.
Resting.
Stop. You're not going to rest your guys.
Dude, resting starters Twitter is out of control this year.
It's
people were calling out the Raiders for having I know. For having Derek Carr in that game with like 11
about?
Minutes left. It's like, what are you throwing the ball for with
Andrew
11
Luck
minutes?
And yeah. The Colts.
Hello. Right. What?
Like, you don't get it. Like, everybody's not Andy Reid. You don't get a 2-touchdown lead and then sit on it for an entire game. It doesn't work like that. There are 11 minutes left in the game. You can't just take the starting quarterback out of there. Like, then you got to start talking. Like, we're talking about where's the line with all these college players sitting out bowl games? Where the hell's the line with people pulling starters out of games? It's outrageous. And to think that the Cowboys could then pull starters in this game and then go 3 weeks without playing a meaningful football game with a bunch of rookies. It's insane. It's you're out of control. Rest your starters Twitter. You're out of control.
I don't get it. I do not get it. Yeah, let's go. All right, it's fantasy award season. Let's go. We're going to start with comeback player of the year. We're going to start with positivity, and then we'll go into the dark side, okay?
All right.
Comeback player of the year. Here's your nominees. I want you guys to vote, okay? Melvin Gordon. Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Shady McCoy, DeMarco Murray. We'll start with the resume for Melvin Gordon. He's your RB7 on the year thus far. He's got still your RB7, still a top 10 running back. He's got 1,416 total yards. He's got 12 total touchdowns. Comeback player of the year because in 2015, he was booty. 833 total yards. And very infamously scored 0 touchdowns despite playing, starting 13 games, I think, last year? Mm-hmm. Double-digit games for sure. I think he played 15 games last year. Had 0 touchdowns. Highly regarded. High draft pick out of Wisconsin. Everyone said he was a bust in 2015. Nobody wanted a piece of him in 2016. And here he is racking up 1,400 total yards and 12 touchdowns. Jordy Nelson, your wide receiver 2.
By a whopping 0.2 points.
Well, hey.
Still number there. 2.
Did
still
number happen? 2.
Did it happen?
It happened, guys.
even if he was number 5, it is remarkable to see Jordy Nelson that high, nearly 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns.
League leading.
Hello. He was going somewhere in the late second, early third round of most fantasy
second
drafts.
Second seems right to me.
And not saying that he vastly outperformed his ADP because he was still going pretty high, but keep in mind this is a guy that didn't even play football last year. Devontae Adams, this is my pick. This is my pick, and this is the reason why. He's the wide receiver 9 in 2016. Top 10 wide receiver, 966 yards. He's got double-digit touchdowns. He's got 10 touchdowns. Last year he had 483 total yards and a single touchdown, and he was...
He was booty?
He was so
He was
booty.
The most booty.
He was the most
the
booty.
The biggest booty.
I'll tell you, he was just getting ripped to shreds in the media and by fantasy enthusiasts everywhere, Devontae Adams.
Can I just add, because I've got consensus ADP from the offseason pulled up. Devontae Adams, wide receiver, 67 ADP, 226th overall. Some wide receivers that were ahead of him, Terrence Williams, Philip Dorsett, Tyler Boyd, Danny Amendola, Laquan Treadwell, Victor Cruz, makes Josh sense. Doxton, Doriel Green Beckham.
All of these make sense. All of these. No, but here's all of those things make sense. You figured Jordy Nelson was coming back.
Months
Randall
ago.
Cobb was going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, Devontae Adams looked terrible. There was some, preseason buzz surrounding, we saw Jeff Janis go crazy in the playoffs. Is he going to supplant Devontae Adams in the starting lineup?
There were actually reports in the Green Bay media that he might be on the roster bubble.
I remember
Devontae Adams?
Yes.
Yeah.
See,
I remember us bemoaning in the preseason that, these guys couldn't stay on message. Like, half the beat writers he looked great. Rodgers still believes him. Half them were he's going to get cut. That's just how unclear the situation was.
I love that he was drafted behind Laquan Treadwell, who has one more catch than any of us in this room combined.
Oh, my God. What happened to Laquan?
A good offseason discussion.
Yeah, it's a discussion for later.
Because a lot of Twitter jokes on Sunday night about Cody Core, his former – who the hell is Cody Core? His former Ole Miss teammate got 14 targets from the Bengals.
I had no idea who in the hell Cody Moore was.
Last us.
Legit. Shady McCoy, he's got 1,257 rush, 350 receiving. That's 1,607 total yards. 1,600 for Shady McCoy. He's got 14 total touchdowns, 13 of them on the ground. This following a 2015 where he had 895 on the ground, 292 through the air. So he had 1,187 total. Decent yardage-wise, but he only had 5 total touchdowns last year. Remember when it was a big storyline last year that he could not get into the end zone? Do you guys remember that first touchdown he did not actually score, where he scored it? He unlocked the bank, that money out.
There's a penalty,
and then
right?
there was a penalty on him. It was great. It was terrific. Then there's DeMarco Murray, 1266 on the ground, 379 through the air. He's got 1645 total. He's got 12 total touchdowns. This far following a disastrous 2015, where he had 702 rushing yards, 322 receiving yards, so 1,025 total yards. So he's got more than 600 yards more this year than he did last year. And he had 7 total touchdowns last year. And man, everyone said DeMarco was washed.
Yep. Yes.
Everyone.
Oh, I was so wrong about DeMarco.
It me.
Yeah. Yeah,
pretty much it was like Derrick Henry knew. Well,
exactly.
He had that job by mid-year.
Yep. Yep.
Boy, do the Eagles look bad too for giving him away.
Giving
I mean,
away.
You
Nothing.
Can you can obviously
Nothing.
Rip on Chip Kelly for mismanaging the situation and all that, yada yada. But then in the offseason, Eagles couldn't get him out of town fast enough for like a swap and a 4th-round pick or something like that.
That's right.
That offense right now would look very nice with DeMarco Murray leading the backfield there.
All right, so, gentlemen, you vote. Tell me, who is it that you like for comeback player of the year?
I'm going to go with Jordy Nelson, partially because for a couple of these guys, guys like Melvin Gordon and Davante Adams, to me it comes down to the definition of comeback player. That suggests that you have done it at a high level, then faded back, and then returned, have come back.
That makes sense.
I think so. For me, that disqualifies Gordon and Davante Adams. And I think, you know, when you compare Jordy to Shady and DeMarco, his bounce back from last year, obviously being hurt and not playing a down during the regular season, basically giving you, you know, having zero compared to what he's doing now, that makes him the winner for me.
Matt Harmon?
And I'm going to go the other direction, because while in real-life football, I agree that comeback player of the year should be like you came back from something, not you came back from sucking. I don't think that really – but I also want to go the other way just to underscore the nebulous rules of these awards, even in
real
football.
There's no real guidelines.
None of that, which is
not at all.
The best part of it. And I'm actually going to go with Melvin Gordon,
okay,
who was, you know, worthless in fantasy last year, never scored a touchdown. We know that. Consensus ADP had him at running back 23.
Okay.
And our site had him at 31, the lowest on the source that I'm looking at right now. And that is just outrageous value to get from drafting a running back there who is essentially.
What round was he going in? Like,
oh, like just to for context, I remember we did one of our league drafts, and Franchise took him, I think in the 4th round and got laughed out of the room.
Yeah, it was 4th or 5th, and like Fabiano let him rip, and other people were like, oh my God.
Fabs went to town on drafting him when Franchise went and drafted him in the 6th round on like our Periscope or something like that.
That's right.
Might have even been later. And yeah, Fabs really let him have it for that one. And it's like, you're getting an outrageous return on your investment.
Crazy return.
There. He's also a good illustration of, you know, why you can draft zero RB teams, and also like the general chaos that running backs can benefit from. Because quite frankly, Danny Woodhead doesn't get hurt. Melvin Gordon's not having this season. He's having a good season, but he's not having this kind of fantasy season.
It's probably a good point, Wiz.
Well, I know we know I'm a Packer homer, but I have to go with Jordy Nelson too.
Okay.
Just for the pure fact of when we look at the numbers of what he did this season.
Well,
Jordy Nelson was like Eric Decker last year on steroids with how consistent he was for your fantasy lineup. He only had 2 weeks with fewer than 8 fantasy points, and every other top receiver, Brown, Odell, Evans, Hilton,
up and down,
else near the top, you know, 4 to 7 of those kind of seasons. Jordy was just the most consistent guy. He's gotten better as the year's gone on, and he's gotten healthier. And like it, you know, it's been a great example of all that hand wringing over such a great player. But he's just simply been tremendous in fantasy. And anybody that had him, I know Marcus just is going to, knock on wood, win a fantasy championship unless Jason Witten drops 53
fantasy
points.
Has a game for the ages.
And Jordy Nelson was a big part of your success. So
that's true.
I just think the fact that he was at such a high level, came back from a serious injury, is in his early 30s, and returned to such a high level is why I would give it to him.
You could also make the argument he's comeback player of the year from just the middle of the season. I mean, James Coe read his eulogy.
Oh, yeah, he was dead. He was dead.
That was,
he was
I dead. Mean,
It's because you weren't alone. And you weren't alone after that Thursday night game against the Bears where he had
one catch for 9 yards. Those were his bad two games. The Dallas game, he had 68 yards and a fumble.
Oh, yeah.
And then Chicago, he had 9 yards.
And he was dead. And then he was dead.
James co-wrote his eulogy. Next game, 94 and a touch. Game after, 94 and a touch. Game after, 126 and a touch.
So you know what? You're welcome. You're welcome.
And to give your poor
Green Bay, you're welcome. And anyone who had Jordy Nelson in fantasy, you're welcome.
Yeah, to give your poor Packers, you know, the persecuted Packers, some credit here.
Persecuted
Packers. Like, they really actually must have heard James' podcast and been like, right. look, we got to do something with Jordy Nelson. Because after that game, they started moving him around more, having him play in the slot. And his like separation scores really increased. So, yeah, definitely big ups to them for helping Jordy out. To make James look like an idiot.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Like I said, I will vote for Davante Adams only because last year, holy – well, because here's the thing. He goes from huge bust because last year in 2015, he was going in that, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round
range. He snuck up there, yeah.
He got crazy high.
He also got – I mean, he got a huge bump from Jordy's injury.
Well, that's what it was. That's what it was.
His ADP even before that was already like in the eighth round. And I remember back then, like in early MFL 10s when people are drafting in this, I'm like, dude, you can't take him in the eighth round. And then Jordy gets hurt and it just spiked again.
I have some sound effects that recap Devontae's season.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that seems effective.
And so that's what it was. 2015, the hype train behind him was just insane. He went into like the fourth round of a lot of leagues. It was just nuts. And it's funny because this kind of production is what all the fantasy enthusiasts were expecting of him last year. You know, something approaching 1,000 yards, something approaching double-digit touchdowns, and he just bombed. I mean, the bad drops were highlighted over and over and over again on your favorite highlight show. And he just fell out of favor with the Green Bay offense. And Matt Harmon just illustrated how far he fell in fantasy depth charts as well. He just came out of nowhere and just balled. He absolutely balled. 966 receiving and 10 touchdowns. I don't know. That's my vote. But
speaking of those drops, he's had three bad ones the last couple weeks. If he would have caught those, he'd be second in the league in touchdowns behind Nelson and be over 1,000 yards.
Is that right?
Because he had two bad drops against the Bears, and he dropped another one this past week against Minnesota.
That's right. But, yeah, no, I think it's been remarkable to see, and it's amazing to me. It continues to amaze me how much confidence plays a role in professional athletics.
Yep.
It's a psychological game, too, man.
It is. It's amazing. Because they're not video games out there. You know what I mean? Yep.
They're not robots. They are not cyborgs.
No, they're not cyborgs. But so that is my vote. But two votes for Jordy, one for Melvin Gordon, one for Davante Adams. So thus, according to the podcast, Jordy Nelson, your Fantasy Live podcast, comeback player of the year.
Wow, what an achievement.
All right, let's talk bust of the year, shall we? So the yin and the yang, we start positive, and then we're going to go negative.
All right,
so I apologize. Are we even allowed to say bust of the year, or are we supposed to say disappointment of the year?
Whatever. Hey. We're on this podcast. Nobody important listens. Nobody is going to say whatever the hell we want.
Until shadowy figures come in here.
All right, fine. We'll stick with bust of the year.
Sads of the year.
All right. Sads of the year? Sure. Let's go sads.
Sads with a Z of
the year. Yeah, I like it. Sads of the year. Here we go. Cam Newton, your quarterback 16. He's out of the top 10. He's out of the top 12. He's your quarterback 16. He's got 18 pass touchdowns, 5 rush touchdowns, fewer than 13 fantasy points 5 times, which is, if you're playing Cam Newton, those are weak killers.
Mm.
5 times scored fewer than 13 points. In 2015, he was the QB1. He had 45 total touchdowns, 35 through the air, 10 on the ground. He's been a big-time disappointment this year. Nuke Hopkins, he's your wide receiver 39. 831 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. He's had less than 6 points 8 times. Again, we talk about weak killers. Nuke Hopkins killed your week probably 8 times. He has, by the way, he has 0.5 points more than Cole Beasley. That's not good.
That's not good.
In 2015, he was the wide receiver 6. He had 1,521 yards and 11 touchdowns. Holy hell. Brandon Marshall, this one's an interesting one. He's a wide receiver 49. He has 788 yards and 3 touchdowns. This following a 2015 campaign where he had 1,500 receiving yards and 14 touchdowns. That is brutal. Todd Gurley, I know, is going to be a very popular pick. And as a matter of fact, I think the Twitter, the fantasy Twitter handle put this out, right? Bust of the year, and Todd Gurley was on there, and I think he was crushing it in terms of the votes. But he is currently your RB21. He's got 845 rush yards, 290 receiving. He's got 6 touchdowns. He has had 8 or fewer points 6 times. Last year, he was your RB5. Nearly 1,300 total yards, 10 touchdowns, and this is basically in 12 games. 12 games started. He played 13, but wasn't really, you know, the guy in the first game that he played. So in 12 games started, he racked up 1,300 total yards and 10 touchdowns. He was a beast. All right, so we'll start with Matt Harmon. I know where you're going, but that's okay. Explain to the folks, and I'll have an interesting counterpoint to this, but tell the folks who you believe to be the fantasy bust of the year.
Yeah, I am definitely interested to hear your counterpoint, because to me it's Todd Gurley, and I think because he's just simply because he was the highest drafted of these guys.
It's true.
I mean, he was pretty much to almost everybody a top 5 overall pick.
100%.
The first running back off the board, yada yada yada. And I mean, it was awful. Just awful to own. It was awful to own Todd Gurley because you knew he was going to get the volume each and every week. Whereas like guys like Brandon Marshall and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, those players, I mean, you go in like knowing, like, I don't even know if the quarterback is going to be looking their way. I mean, that was what you was so appealing about Nuke, was like, well, you thought he was going to get a ton of passes thrown his way, and that just didn't happen. And yeah, for me, Gurley, like, he gave you some usable weeks for sure, but considering what you drafted, like where you drafted him, and also like, if you were really insistent on taking a running back in the first round this year, I mean, you look pretty smart. Like, a lot of Zeke, you know, David Johnson, those guys hit big. Even the next round back, Le'Veon Bell and
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, Freeman or Shady or
sure.
Any of these guys, you know, you look really smart for taking a running back early, but if you rolled the dice and it landed on Gurley, you're feeling pretty bad.
You weren't even rolling the dice, really.
No,
I mean, it didn't seem like a dice roll.
No, that's
not,
what I'm saying.
Not,
everyone
most
said,
people thought you were not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, you're looking at that total yardage, you're looking at the touchdowns, and you're thinking, well, even if he gives me that production over 16 games, you'd be happy with that.
And the workload, I mean, it has been there for Gurley. He
right.
even got involved in the passing game during stretches, which he did not, you know, as a rookie. And so it has been awful. I would say he's probably the bust of the year, almost simply because he went higher than pretty much everybody else on the list.
So here's my counterpoint, which is I get it. I totally understand the fact that he did not deliver the top 5 value. But he is still a top 20-ish running back. So every single week, did he give you great numbers? No. But in a year where running back was, I mean, decimated, this was a guy that, yes, he would disappoint in terms of point totals versus expectations every single week. And I get it. So the disappointment, he was a disappointment every single week relative to expectations. That part I understand. But still, the RB21, and quite frankly, if you look at his point totals on a week-to-week basis, it was not great, obviously, but there were very, very few weeks where it was just awful. He had 9 points or more 7 times this year. That's not great, obviously. It's not week changers. But if you just took the name off the back of the guy and you said, all right, well, it's not Todd Gurley, it's just running back X. And I told you running back X is going to be a top 20 running back every single week, and every single week, you're likely to get anywhere between, you know, 7 and 12 points. Would you take that? I think the answer would be resounding yes.
Yeah, but you wouldn't take it with your first overall
you would not take,
or top 5 pick.
Yeah. You wouldn't take it in the top 15. I get that.
Guess what? I got that with Frank Gore in round 8.
No. I totally understand that. I totally understand that. But let's say, for example, you look at some of the other running backs that you might have taken in those top 2 rounds. There was a ridiculous amount of injuries.
Adrian Peterson.
Jamal Charles was another guy. So, I don't know. I mean, he was obviously a disappointment. It's just, to me, I look at this list, and I think Nuke has got to be, for me, the biggest bust of the year. Only because, again, here's another guy that also was going in the top 12 picks in most drafts. And every single week, you had to throw him out there because you're thinking, well, the talent level's got to come through. And it never did.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, well within reason to say.
Who's up next for voting? Marcus?
Sure, I'll go next. I'm looking at this list, and I'm trying to come up with a reason that it shouldn't be Todd Gurley, and I'm really struggling to. Cam Newton was a huge disappointment. There's no doubt about that.
It's your own fault for drafting a quarterback.
I feel like with Nuke, a lot of his problems really weren't on him. A lot of that had to do with Brock Osweiler just not being. I mean, because Nuke far and away led the Texans in targets. Mm-hmm. Just none of the targets were catchable. So.
Or they were targeted at him but went to the other team.
Right, there's
like,
that.
There's that.
Brought
too.
That up on the couch. I think he had like 8 interceptions when targeting Nuke because the throws were just so awful. Because
he could not throw to the outside.
Right. I mean, which is why,
eight interceptions to one player, though. Like, well, he was targeting one player.
Which is honestly why I
That's insane.
I semi-jokingly on Twitter a few weeks ago suggested that, you know, the analytics people out there come up with a metric called quality targets as opposed to just targets.
Sure.
You know what? Here it goes. I will make a case for Brandon Marshall as the bust of the year. And I think a lot of it is because he flew under the radar, I feel like, as we all sat around and lamented the fantasy demises of DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson. Brandon Marshall flew under the radar at wide receiver 49.
I agree.
Fewer than 800 yards, just 3 touchdowns. And I think what makes it glaringly bad is that, let's go back to the summer, and we all remember when the Jets finally signed Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Twitter and Instagram posts of everybody celebrating in the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, the videos of Geno Smith looking sad, wearing a hat that said no friends on it and everything. Aww. Like, you know, just basically being persona non grata.
Right.
And, you know, us expecting, okay, this means Brandon Marshall, hey, you know, he's safe again. He's a safe fantasy pick again. Okay, maybe he doesn't give you 14 touchdowns this year and 1,500 yards, but he's going to be a wide receiver one, dadgummit.
Right.
No.
No.
No. I mean, he was barely a wide receiver 5 this year.
Last year, Brandon Marshall had 60 yards and or a touchdown in every single game. Every single game. And the only other one, he had 70 yards and or a touchdown in all but one game. That's outrageous, like
consistency,
floor, yada yada, everything that you want to put it. And that floor just bottomed out this year.
I think there were a number of things that hurt. One, losing Eric Decker. Two, Ryan Fitzpatrick turning back into a pumpkin. Because you look at Brandon Marshall's first 3 games, though, 32 yards, disappointing, 101 yards, solid day, 27 yards, 89 in a touch, 114 in a touch. But then there's that Arizona game thrashing on Monday Night Football, I think, when the wheels really started to fall off for the Jets. It was their 4th straight loss, their 5th in the first 6 weeks. And from then on out, it just went like,
yep, see ya.
And Fitzpatrick got injured and pulled. Then he was dealing with Bryce Petty. Marshall got injured. So it's a lot of things that conspired against him. I mean, nobody expected him to achieve that height again. I could definitely understand the disappointment. But, like, a lot of things conspired into Brandon Marshall's downfall this year.
It's true. I mean, there's age concerns as well. But, you know, the Decker thing I think is really interesting because, no, you're right. When you had those 2 big targets out there, it makes it awfully tough to guard. You know, and they were just rolling coverage over to Brandon Marshall. Although, I got to say, it's so weird, though. When the Jets get down big, in any normal fantasy scenario, you're thinking, okay, this is garbage time points. And Brandon Marshall didn't really get garbage time points.
Mm-mm.
He's a player to go back and definitely watch a lot in the offseason to really dig into him because, you know, you're right. The garbage time would be interesting to check, like, was he playing, you know, at 100%? Like, was he playing all that well? Because, you know, the interesting thing about the Jets, too, you mentioned all that garbage time. Like, I really expected that to actually help their fantasy receivers this year.
Right.
Because last year they were already, like, top 10 in pass attempts. This year they're all the way down at 22nd, which you would think is a little shocking considering that they've been bad all year.
It makes no sense.
I know. Well.
Interesting.
That is interesting. I just noticed that now.
All right. So, WizKid, your vote goes to?
Mine's got to go to Todd Gurley as well, simply because of how high he was. He was up there. I mean, Cam, I know I made the case for Aaron Rodgers. Cam had been a strong fantasy quarterback, but Rodgers, aside from 2015, every year that he started more than 15 games was the quarterback 1 or 2.
Right.
And that's going to hold true again this year where he's the QB1. Cam, like, all the statistics were pointing towards regression for him, and a number of articles were written about it. So nobody expected him to fall this far, but,
this was just
a bit of a drop was expected. As with Nuke, I feel like I know Harmon and I threw cold water in it. There were other things. You could see that trend late last year when the offense got its act together in Houston and his targets dropped. Again, not this big of a fall, but it's got to be Gurley. Like, he doesn't even have as many total yards in 15 games now as he did last year in 12. Like, like, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, he has still been a somewhat consistent contributor, but
right.
Todd Gurley has won people 0 weeks this year in fantasy.
True.
And for
zero.
A first-round pick, like, you know, David it Johnson, hurts. Zeke had those games where you're like, well, they were in your lineup if you were facing them.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have a guy go down with injury in the first round? I mean, would you rather here, this is the way to put it. Would you rather have had Adrian Peterson or Todd Gurley?
Probably Peterson, because then I just know
that's the question. No, that's the question.
That's a fair point. Like, because I think that's the problem with these guys too, is like you get to a point, and I know I'm that way. Like, how can I not be starting DeAndre Hopkins? You know, what if he goes like, and there's a lot of people that feel like, well, if he goes off on my bench, then I feel like an idiot. But sometimes it's better to just know. Sometimes it's like the end of a really bad relationship, and you're
right.
Just like, oh God, for God's sake, just pull the plug already. You guys are gonna break up. Just get it over with.
Yeah, and
so
that's the trouble with Gurley, is he was never even able to beat good matchups. Like,
right,
he sucked against the 49ers. Like, backup running backs yeah. for going for 100 plus against the 49ers, and Gurley averaged like 2.9 yards a carry again.
If we can also just say, like, one lesson I think to learn from Hopkins, especially because Gelhar, you mentioned you and I were lower on Nuke than other people. We kind of threw a little, not this much,
yeah,
low,
no, not
but
this
like
much.
Definitely threw some caution on that. I remember getting just beat the hell up on Twitter for having that take. I mean, because people were like, that's stupid. No way. Quarterback's better this year. You know, he's going to see all those targets again. Like, it's just a reminder that no way should not be in your vocabulary with this stuff, because a lot of things can change from year to year.
I also was thinking about this too with Davante Adams. Remember, I think Marcus, it was a quote you and Harmon, I remember, I think, were the ones that said on this podcast too, that said, like, if Randall Cobb doesn't finish as a top 15 wide receiver,
something went horribly wrong. Something went horribly wrong.
Well, the thing
we
is,
Davante Adams is a top 10, and Cobb's like the wide receiver 40. Like, things can change.
Damn, you're right. We really did say that.
Yeah, I put that in print too. It is on our website.
I'm pretty
in
sure
print.
I think there was like a graphic made up when I said it. Oh.
Yeah, we put it. It was out on like social.
I wrote that and I said it. I knew you wholeheartedly agreed.
I'm actually going to find that right now and quote tweet it and make fun of myself.
Oh,
but I mean, no, it's because you're right. It's a good point. Like, you know, and it's not that everything went horribly wrong for Cobb. He got a little injured and Adams ascended. Like, things change. Teams evolve.
It's true.
Players can grow and find roles during the season.
The thing about things is they change.
I think wasn't the crux of you guys throwing cold water on the whole Nuke thing, his targets?
Like, yeah, that the volume
they
was
came down a bunch. He averaged like 14 a game for the first
right.
eight, and then they established a running game, were playing better overall football, and weren't down by 40 points every week.
You know,
and they came down to like a 9-10 range.
And the crazy thing, what was so crazy about it to me was like everybody talked about regression is coming for Allen Robinson. You know, regression is coming for, you know, whoever. And then Nuke was just completely immune from that when we already saw the regression take place in 2015, where he was like a top five receiver in the first half of the season. Then the second half of the season, when the Texans started running the football, which,
right.
you know, they wanted to do when they signed Miller.
And playing better defense.
And playing better defense and, you know, winning games, which, by the way, is what the NFL teams actually want to do.
Right.
He was like the wide receiver 12. So we'd already seen that regression take place.
It's so interesting how much target share and estimated targets per game impact fantasy, because, you know, the talent level still certainly there for Nuke, but no, you're right. He's just not getting quality targets, as Marcus Grant has so astutely pointed out. All right, so coming up, so obviously Todd Gurley is going to be your NFL Fantasy Live podcast bust of the year. No congratulations needed there. Friday, we will be talking about, it's interesting, right? Because like when you watch your favorite television show or listen to your favorite program or whatever it is, I always get annoyed when they don't tie up loose ends.
Mm.
So, thus, this podcast will not be falling to that. We will try to tie up as many loose ends as possible. On Friday, we're going to be giving you an update on who was the champions of the OG League, of the Bearded League, and of the Danger Zone League. What's wrong?
Sorry, I just found that Randall Cobb graphic, and he said, I don't think there's any way he doesn't get back into the top 10 or the top 15. Matt Harmon on Randall Cobb.
Oh.
Well, I guess there was a way.
There was a way.
All right, so and then James, yeah, we're updating on the leagues. We're going to tell you what on pace, Mr. On Pace, Mark Ingram, is on pace for.
Exactly. He's got 940 rush yards right now.
Because he's 60. God.
If you've listened to the podcast with any kind of regularity, you know that I am a noted NFC South running back hater. I don't know what it is about these NFC South running backs, but I'm not a fan. I don't know what it is. I've coined Mark Ingram as on pace because every single – you can't talk about Mark Ingram without talking about what he is on pace to do.
Well, because everybody's always like, never had 1,000 yards in a season. Mean,
but he was on pace.
He's on pace for 1,000 yards right now.
He is on pace for 1,000 yards, by the way.
Boom.
Listen, pal, just calm down, okay? He's got 940 rush yards right now. It's the best year of his career through a lot of metrics, but again, we'll give you the final rush tally on Mark Ingram on Friday. March to 1100 is officially dead, but we'll give you the final tally there. I was super hyper on Marvin Jones. I looked like a genius through 3 weeks, and then
wow.
That died very quickly. What else did we... Oh, and we're also going to give you... Well, I guess we got to wait till next week on this one. We had a gentleman's agreement, a gentleman's proposition between Matt Harmon and myself.
Hey, you have to wait till next week. We can't do it on Friday.
Can't do it on Friday.
A lot could change on Sunday.
A lot could change.
True.
How much is... So this is Tyler Boyd, the Brandon LaFell in what is the grossest wide receiver gentleman's agreement.
I gotta say,
I
am a pretty, you know, when I'm watching football, like, I'm pretty measured. I don't, like, get super hyped about many things. Yeah. But I, in front of my father, when Brandon LaFell took that 87 yards
to the house,
I went, whoa! I was like, LaFell! In the middle of the living room. And he's like, what's up? Why do you care? I'm like, you don't want to.
I also love how you guys had just gone back and forth on Twitter minutes earlier. Like, oh, man, this could change. And then you replied to him like, oh, welp.
Yep. I tweeted at you, LaFell. And then you, at the same time, you replied back. You had tweeted back at me on the original one like, welp, never mind.
Never mind. I shall go back into the hedges.
Before we jump into Daily Daps 2, while we're talking about what's coming ahead, I want to request that our listeners also tell us some of your favorite moments from the podcast season. Because we're probably going to put together a sort of like best of episode.
We're trying to. Yeah.
Some of our great segments and stuff. I was thinking about a couple recently. I just need to take some time and sift back through.
All right. So, listeners, do us a solid, man. Find us on Twitter. Like, subscribe, rate the podcast. And as a matter of fact, in your rating of the podcast, would you please put your favorite moments in the podcast so that we can search through and kind of put that together? And I'll tell you what. If you do it, we will get your name and rating out there. From rate and review. We'll put all that stuff together. We'll be like, hey, this is courtesy of Mark S. from wherever, who rated and reviewed the podcast and tipped us out to this.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out or get it to us any way possible. Reviews, ideal. Twitter, great. Facebook, great.
I love it.
Harmon's Instagram, you could definitely hit him up there.
Are you on Instagram, bro?
Yeah, dude, I'm on Instagram.
Yeah, it's nothing but pictures of Charlie.
And plants.
And food that I
cook
sometimes.
Really exciting stuff. Anyways, we're getting off the rails talking about his Instagram. Should we Daily Dabs and get out of here?
Yes.
If you want to follow my Instagram.
Read all about it.
This is the Daily
Dabs
and Hooks. Give me dabs because I be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up, dabs abound, dabs up.
All right, Daily Dap time. We're going to start with the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin.
No, skip me. I forgot one.
Oh, just kidding. Okay, I'll start with myself. Undaps to having the fantasy championship on Christmas Eve. That was not cool.
No one cares about your fantasy team.
I was on tilt. I thought I'd be I'm a seasoned fantasy player. I work on this podcast. I do it on the television show. I write an article. You'd think I'd be like burned out to this whole thing, right? I'd be steady, measured, not tilt. I was freaking tilting my butt off. Not cool. Don't put all these games on Christmas Eve, man. I mean, I get that week 16 generally falls during this whole Christmas time, but I mean, Roger Goodell, I know you listen to the podcast. Probably not. Hope he actually.
We would not be doing the podcast anymore.
I hope he doesn't actually listen to the podcast. But can we move week 16 either a week earlier or a week after? Because having these championships run on Christmas, essentially, not cool, man. I don't like it because I am out. I lost basically on Saturday in two of my major leagues, and I was on just full tilt on Christmas. It felt terrible. I tried to get over it super quick, and I couldn't. I couldn't. I absolutely. My wife was like, "What is wrong with you, man?" She's like, "What is wrong with you? What is wrong? Stop it. Stop it. It's Christmas." And I'm like, "Oh, babe, you don't understand. Fantasy championships. So brutal." So undaps to having the fantasy championships that close to Christmas. So there you go. Matt Harmon, give me a daily dap.
Yeah, I mentioned early in the show, but daps to my mom and Steve. For their lifelong commitment to each other now.
Okay.
So very happy for I'm very happy for them. Steve makes my mother very happy, and that's
so cool.
all that matters. So I dapped my dad in the last show, and I dapped my mom this show. So I'm even now.
And
get off my back.
Your sister in at some point. So that was good.
It's a real family affair here.
I like it. I absolutely. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, what's up?
Daily dabs to Run the Jewels because RTJ3 dropped on Christmas Eve. The first two Run the Jewels albums were fantastic. The collaboration between LP and Killer Mike.
Okay.
So the new one is out. I've been listening to it on repeat for the last day or so. I think you come for LP's heavy beats. You stay for Killer Mike's Marshawn Lynch references.
Oh, is that right? He makes a few?
There's a, go Marshawn Lynch, run through a face.
That was
a lot of fun to hear the first time around. But,
good. Yeah, I like it.
It's solid.
WizKid from Wisconsin, Daily Dap Time.
I couldn't remember anything better, so I'm going to daily dap Stephen King. I had retweeted this. It came out a couple days before Christmas.
Yes.
The author, Stephen King.
Yes.
Wrote a children's book under the pseudonym Beryl Evans. It was called Charlie the Choo-Choo. But then, so not only did he write a children's book,
yeah,
but then he put his own review as Stephen King
on the top of
the book to promote it. Said, if I were ever to write a children's book, it would be just like this, Stephen King. So Daily Dap's is Stephen King for a tremendous troll job of all
savage
of America by writing a children's book and then promoting it as himself.
That is tremendous. He does a lot of different things, by the way. He has a lot of pseudonyms, actually, because he writes fantasy, he writes sci-fi. He does all these different things, but you know, when you see Stephen King, you think horror.
Yeah.
So
he's a fantastic. I mean, everybody knows Stephen King, but if you've never actually read any of the books that his movies are based on, they're
for
awesome.
A long time that was all I read was
Stephen King.
Stephen King
long,
is
long
that
time,
right?
All
are
I read
fantastic.
Was
so go pick one up this holiday season and check it out.
I'll piggyback off of that because I just like the fact that he is. I love creative minds, and the fact that he obviously makes a crazy amount of money on being Stephen King. He could totally just mail it in and just cash them checks.
Some of his later books, it kind of reads like he...
No, that's fine. No, well, first of all, of course, that's going to happen. That is going to happen. But the fact that he has such a creative mind and wants to do sci-fi, wants to write, you know, fantasy novels, wants to write, not fantasy football novels, but, you know, but also...
a novel about fantasy football, good God.
And also wants to write children's books. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
I'm down with it.
Yeah.
The dude is like just a machine when it comes to writing novels, though. Like, he writes good ones and he pumps them out frequently. Like, he's dedicated to his craft. If you're wondering how to be the next Stephen King,
gotta keep writing. Gotta keep writing.
Write a lot.
Gotta keep writing. All right, that's the show. Franchise, we miss you, pal. All right, for the WizKid from Wisconsin, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, and Matt Harmon's dad, I'm James Coe. We're out. Yeah. See you later.
Josh Johnson, I think, has been a backup for every NFL team. I'm pretty sure at this point it's just, he's been
it's
on every
pretty,
NFL team.
Yeah, it's going to be
pretty. After you go, after the an NFL team goes through their requisite Brian Hoyer starts for you stretch,
right?
Then you sign Josh Johnson to be your at least number two quarterback or number three quarterback. I believe that's those are NFL
those,
rules.
It's those in
are
the bylaws.
Those are in the rule book. Actually, right.
You also have to have a McCown brother at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the McCowns.
That's true.
Okay,
and like.
Is Luke still the backup in New Orleans?
Yes. Correct.
He is.
Maybe if they just got a chance. I bet some of those backups could really shine.
That was really funny how that happened.
Yeah, I
and
know.
And he actually
got
to play.
Got
game time. Yeah, it was great.